And then and even still, I'm passionate. So there you go. We've been talking about Ephesians chapter 6, and we're working through the what's called battle ready, right? Battle ready. You can throw that first slide up. Battle ready in Ephesians chapter 6. Mostly the primary thrust in 6, 10 through, say, 18, 19 is the concept and the understanding of being geared up with the armor of God. So we've been kind of pulling that apart in a lot of different ways, the armor of God. So just a brief list. Over the last 6 weeks, we've learned to recognize the battle. We've learned to guard our minds. We've learned to stay spirit-led. We've learned to know the enemy, gear up in God's armor, and last week to pray like warriors. And the Spirit, I believe, is using all of this to prepare us for the revelation or the subject of today, which is to stand. This concept of stand. Sounds really simple. Standing means a whole lot. I'm reminded, I won't jump into this. This is not here, Bryce. So just gonna just chill for a second. You're not gonna find it. All right. There's a story in the Gospels where John the Baptist is with a few of his disciples. And it says, as they were standing, Jesus walks by. And John recognized Jesus by the way he walked. I'm maybe adding a little bit there. But he recognized, there was something about Jesus that he says, behold the Lamb of God and whom takes away the sins of the world. And John's disciples that moment began to follow. My point, John the Baptist was standing for something when he recognized the Son of God. We won't find our deepest purpose unless we're at a place of rooted and standing in something. You must stand for something. You must stand for what God's called you to. That's what will produce the greatest fruit in your life, is when you are positioned in the identity of Jesus Christ. And the gospel, the armor of God, which we find in Ephesians, is just that. It's this concept of the identity in Christ. So let me ask you this question for your contemplation. What has this series stirred in you? We've been at this. This week is the 7th week. What has this series stirred in you? Have you been just listening? Or are you actually beginning to gear up? Is there something working in you? Do you sense God calling you out of something and into something? I'm going to read in Ephesians right here, chapter 6. I know they're here. Chapter 6, verse 10. And I'm going to read a little bit more than what I told you, Bryce, but hang in there with me. Verse 10, it says this: finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole full armor of God, so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil, which will be our point today. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the powers, against world forces of this darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day. And having done everything, to stand firm. 14. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. In 18, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. Anybody say amen?
Amen.
See, standing isn't passive. Standing isn't passive. It's active posture of victory, of identity, and of trust. Standing isn't a passive action. It's something very specific, very solid, very rooted. You're in something, you're on something, you're about something. It's the active posture. The phrase, check this out, the phrase, you may be able to stand against, that phrase comes from the Greek word dunamis, or dynamite, or dyname, which is where we get the word dynamite from. It's an explosive power that you may be able to stand, that you may have power to stand. The kind of strength that enables us to take a bold, immovable stand, so we are standing against. Paul names it. So we are standing against. Are you doing this for me? Thanks. So Paul names it here. What does he name it? Doug? Well, glad you asked. He says that you'll be able to stand against the schemes. Some translation calls it the wiles of the devil. Let's expose these schemes and get battle ready to stand. Let's expose these schemes. Today I want to talk to you about standing, and I want to talk to you about the enemy's strategy so we can shine light on it so you don't stumble into it. You know, the greatest trap is the one you can't see. The greatest trap is the one you miss and you don't identify, and then you're like, oh, bummer, that happened. I want to help you get beyond that. And the point and the thesis today is this. Standing firm is not passive. It's spirit-empowered, position of authority. When we are fully armored, we are, these three things, able to stand in our identity, able to stand in our calling, and able to stand against the enemy's lies. Our identity, our calling, and against the enemy's lies. We don't just survive the battle, we stand and govern over it. If I could impart anything to you today, any simple thing to you, it would be this idea that I'm not just struggling to get by. That, I'm trying hard, I'm trying to get this done, and I'm really trying, Doug, I'm really trying. I'm doing my best to hang in there. Man, it's a totally different position. There's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Zero. In Christ, we've been delivered from darkness into the power of light. We're in this place, but it's right here. When we begin to believe what we're positioned in, when we begin to understand our identity in Christ, it changes the game. You come at a challenge or a hard thing with a completely different mentality. We don't show up as a victim, but rather a victor. When you have that mindset and that understanding. See, check this out. Your gear is your identity. Every piece shows your passion. Helmet, breastplate, belt, right? Our feet, our shoes, our shield, our sword. All of these components, these things reveal, shows our passion. Every tool has a purpose. This is your commitment. This is your power. And this is God's plan for you to be able to stand. So the gear is important so you can stand. And when you can stand, you get to stand against the enemy's schemes, against his wiles, against his devices, and against his deception. Those are the three things we'll jump into in here in just a moment. But what does it look like? What does standing look like in your life right now? What does standing look like? Just take a brief inventory. What does standing look like in your life right now? Do you know your position in Christ? Do you understand your identity? Or you're like, Doug, I understand. I've heard that word a lot. But I really haven't made the connection where I'm confident in my identity. That's okay. Let's start. Let's move. Let's find our identity in a world that has so many voices and so many options, so many opinions, so many ways to go. It's so imperative that we understand our identity in Jesus Christ and what he's called us to do. You don't get to just sign up and then go do whatever you want to do. That's not the plan. You're a subject of the king. Jesus is a king, and we're part of a kingdom. When you signed up, you didn't just get on this cool cruise. You jumped into a warship, baby. You know what I mean? You've got an assignment. Sorry, am I getting a little too bold for you? Preach. Told you I was a little excited. Nervous, don't know what's going to happen today. We stand for something, right? Stand for three things. You stand in power, you stand as a soldier, and you stand against the enemy. First point is this. That concept of you may be able. If you jump into Acts chapter 1, verse 8. I don't know if you got that right there. Check this out. Jesus is telling the disciples to wait. Wait for the promise of the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit hasn't come yet. The disciples are in the upper room waiting. So to give you a bit of a picture, they're in the upper room waiting, and Jesus says, wait. Wait for the promise of the Spirit, because this is what's going to happen. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses both here, near, and far. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. You will be my witnesses. You're going to have power to stand. So when he says you're going to get power, you know what that word power is? It's the same word dunamis, dynamite, explosive power, that you may be able to stand against the enemy. You are geared up with your battle armor, your full armor, so that you can stand in that power right there. It's the same power. He's talking about the same term, the same word. Power to stand in who you are. Power to resist what's against us. Power to forgive, power to lead, and power to overcome. If I can just jump for just a moment and just give a little plug. In moments like we had this morning, I want to encourage you. We're going to continue to have moments like that. God's going to continue to come. Amen. And when he comes like that, we're going to learn how to receive more. I want to encourage you. You all are phenomenal to enter in and to lean into Jesus like that. So beautiful. And as we continue to do that, healing happens. I've been in a number of worship meetings where healing happens during worship. The strum, the sounds, the beats, the voices. Holy Spirit comes. It says he inhabits the praises of his people. And so he inhabits, when his presence is here, healing happens, transformation happens, deliverance happens, because that's just who he is. That's just what he does. When he shows up, things change. So back to my notes. Being suited up in full armor gives us the ability to stand before the enemy so we don't get pulled into his lies. So we don't get pulled into his methods, and so we don't get pulled into his mind games. Everything that we're geared up and standing against is this concept of what the enemy's plan, what the enemy's method, what the enemy's goal is to do. And most of it has to do right here, right up inside this place, right here. The biggest part of our trouble, man, if we could just get out of our own way, right? And we can go, no, that's not true. I'm really not the ugliest person in the room. I'm really not, you know, kind of, but I'm not the total ugliest person in the room. You're laughing at me. She says I am. See, she's saying that right now. I hear her. I'm being so playful, and we hear some of the dumbest things while we're driving down the road, while we're in the middle of work, and somebody walks by, and you go, hey, what's up? And they don't say anything. You go, what did I do? How did I offend them? They're not talking to me. And the enemy just like, just lobbing thoughts. It's this same method he uses to deal with us. So I want to encourage you to stand. Stand in power, fully equipped, fully empowered. Stand firm, equipped with power for the battle. If you believe that you were empowered by the Holy Spirit, if you believe that, what would you change? What would you change? If you believe that the Holy Spirit has empowered you, you received Christ, then inventory it. Look at it. What do you want to change? What would you change? I just release that on you, that you could have that, that you would encounter that. The enemy always wants to suck us into this battle, this two-dimensional battle down here in this place. And the Lord's called us up here. Reminds me of a story in Joshua chapter 5. Joshua, you know, they are recovering from like an adult circumcision. Such a drag, right? For you men, you get it. You probably comprehend that. Coming out of Egypt, you know, I mean, whoa, rough. So they're recovering. Let's just leave it right there. They're recovering, and they're trying to get their strength back. Joshua is, like, present with these guys, and they're waiting. And at this point, the enemy is fearful of the Israelites because of the water being dried up in the Jordan, and the Israelites able to walk across. It says the enemies, their hearts were melting with fear because they knew that God was with the Israelites. So that was the prime time to do the circumcision. So they're recovering. Joshua is out and about, and he looks across the river, and he sees a soldier standing there. Dude's all decked out in his partial armor. Oh, man, no. Full armor, right? He's decked out in all of his armor, and Joshua, wondering what's going on, being a man of war himself, he walks up to him, and he says, "Hey, are you for us? Or are you against us? Which side are you on? Are you coming to threaten? You got a message that you want to fight? Or are you siding with us? Who are you? What's your purpose?" And the response of the Lord of the battle is who it was. The response, he says, "No." What kind of answer is that? Are you for us or against us? No. Dude, you're not asking the right question. Lord says, "I'm the Lord of the battle. Your position is here in a heavenly role. Your position is to be over the battle, not in it, trying to, my thoughts, all my busy stuff, all the things that got me, and I'm all encumbered with this theater of war that we face with. What does she say? What does he say? What's wrong with me? How come I'm this? How come I'm that? My marriage doesn't work. It's problematic. I can't get over this addiction. I got to keep these secrets and keep all these things in the air, or somebody's really going to find out who I am." All of these kinds of theater of war, all of this stuff. Jesus has called us to be outside of that battle, to be above that thing, and to be able to guard our thoughts, guard our hearts, and keep that from encumbering us with all of that. A good soldier is not encumbered with the affairs of the day, Timothy is told by Paul. Point two is this. We stand as a soldier. We stand as a soldier. How does a soldier stand? Joshua, as he looks across, he sees this guy head high, shoulders back, in full garb and position. How do you stand? Knowing that you're a subject of the king, knowing that God's called you to greatness, God's called you to move beyond, how do you stand? You stand in power, and you stand in this place of position, this place of confidence. This Greek word for stand is the word stene. Stene, which paints a picture of this confident soldier. He's holding a strategic position, his identity. He's standing with purpose and readiness, alert, knowing that the enemy is lurking around like a lion seeking whom he may devour, ready and alert, paying attention, not slouched, not sidelined, not showing up, whoa, the door hitting you in the butt on the way in because you woke up late. "Hey, bro, I'm here. Here, give me a hug. Love you." I love community, I do. But there's another side of the coin that we're on mission. We're serious. There are certain things you just need to grow up. I need to grow up. I'm calling you to the same things that the Lord's calling me to. Lay it all on the threshing floor, right? Be intentional about our Christianity. I promise you, the Lord's favor is in that behavior. The Lord's favor is in that calling to getting something done with integrity and purpose. Fruit, power, and purpose. The manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Not just inspiration. Fruit, power, and purpose. Are you standing where God placed you? Are you in your lane? Or have you wandered off from your post? If God's called you to Lifehouse, which I pray that he does, if God's called you to Lifehouse, then he's called you to stand over a strategic part of the battlefield, because the Lord's called us somewhere, and we're going. We're going to get somewhere. I don't really know the time frame, and it makes me a little uncomfortable when money's slow, when volunteers are low, when there's things to do and there's not enough people to do them, and I'm already out of time because I can't take on another job. I got to find it. We got to find it. Others got to find it. We grind. We're a church plant, and that we have a plan, and we don't quit. We're going to pursue. But if you're called to Lifehouse Church, I want you to repeat this with me. Here's our vision, and here's our mission. Our vision, number one, the overarching objective is this: to be the first house people run to every time. Say that with me, starting right now. To be the first house people run to every time. Mission: be the house of Jesus, caring personally, serving practically, and living powerfully. Jesus had a mission, and Jesus had a vision. Jesus's vision was to seek and to save that which is lost. Period. Massive vision. That's the entire planet it applied to. He had a mission too. How did he get that done? He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He hung out with children. He made disciples. He fed the 5,000. He taught and trained his disciples. He called them to grow up. He spoke to dead things and called them to live. He had a mission to fulfill his vision. That's the same thing with us. We have a vision, and all of these things, every chair that gets placed is aimed at that vision. It's our mission. Everything we do, Bryce, you are incredible, dude. You and Gavin are phenomenal at what you do. And I'm so grateful for these men right here. And I just want you to know, this is the beginning. So what do you need? Schooling, you need more, you money, what do you need? We're just going to rock and roll and grow this thing. No, I'm being playful, but we're going to find another gear, and we're going to grow for all of us, right? That's what the Lord's called us to do. The Lord's called us to do. Point three, stand against. Stand in power. Wait, don't tell me, Troy. The second one, right? Come on. Where'd it go? Stand as a soldier. Stuff will just fall off in seconds, you know? Stand against, nose to nose with the enemy. Face to face, nose to nose. Paul says that you will be able to stand against. The Greek word here is this word pros, P-R-O-S, which means face to face. We're not shrinking back. We're standing nose to nose. When we're covered in armor, we're spirit-led, and we're face-to-face with the enemy. We stand in the authority and the empowerment that God's given us. We stand as soldiers, confident in Christ, and we stand against lies. We stand against the enemy. This idea of pros is face-to-face, and it's leaning forward. You know what a fighting stance is? It's not like this, where you can get pushed over. It's more like this, like on railroad tracks, a position. You've got a good base to you. You stand against the enemy. What lie are you dealing with? What lie is spoken over you? What things are said to you in secret? When the pressure comes, what lie? What is it? You're no good? You didn't have enough training? Too many failures? I can't do that. I don't have any confidence. I'm insecure. What lie does the enemy try to spin in your head? What are you facing lately? You see, the reality is that, according to Romans 8:37, that we are in Christ and we are more than conquerors in Jesus Christ. Not afraid, not unsure, not anything but standing confident in who you are in Christ. So he says this, that you will be able to stand. You'll be able to stand against the enemy. There's three strategies here that the enemy has that the scripture's pretty clear on. That you will be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That you'll be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The word wiles is this word methodos. Methodos in Greek. It's in Greek. It's method and odos. Those are two words in Greek. Method is the way that the enemy does something. It's his idea, his plan. He has a way about attacking us. This idea of the devil being so broad and so big, so mysterious, and that he's everywhere and he gets into everything and he's so powerful is a lie in itself. He's a one-trick pony. But he's really good at that one trick. He's really good at that method. The word methodos means with a road. With a road. The word schemes, some of your Bibles say the word schemes. Wiles and schemes is methodos, with a road. He has a plan, and the way he does it with his particular method. We're not ignorant to his devices, Paul says in 2 Corinthians. We're not ignorant to his devices. His devices, that word is nous, N-O-U-S, which is the Greek word noema, which means mind or intellect, with a road and in your head. He's got one trick. He speaks lies to you. He chooses to attack your mind, your thought. Why is that? Because if he chooses to attack your thoughts and your mind, he can change reality. Take a look at this picture, would you? It's graphic, simple, it's a little small text. Three areas right here of our brain. This is a triune look from a guy named McLean. This is old. It's not complex. The brain and the study of the brain is way more complex than this. But to simplify it, there's three areas of the brain. There's this back part called the reptilian or your survival or animal brain. Then there's the top portion, which is your daily emotion, habits, all of that. This back part, the survival brain, fight, flight, freeze, panic, react, nature, flesh, carnal. All of these things really are what's hardwired in us as humanity. And up here is our daily, our values. Well, I mean, not values, but our habits, our emotions. How I got to remember my wallet. I got to drive to church. I've got to do that. I say this. If you attack me, I say this back. These are things that are in me for my daily. And then up in front, right up here, is the executive part of our brain. The executive part of our brain is where we put our convictions, the things we really value, the things we hold deep inside of us, our beliefs. What do you believe about the kingdom of God? What do you believe about Jesus Christ? See, now you look at all three of these together, and the kind of the reptilian or the animal part of our brain and the executive part of our brain are fighting and struggling for reality. The reality is that daily. So how you act is based on what you practice and what you do. If you don't practice your executive part of your mind, if you don't build a plan and a purpose and have really focused in on what you believe and hang in there with your convictions, you're going to simply react. And when you react, that's reality. See, the Holy Spirit and the devil have one objective, and that's a fight for reality. Whoever controls your thoughts controls reality. What is reality? It's what you do every day. It's how you talk, how you build relationships, how you connect with one another, how you pray, how you don't pray. That's reality. Putting the armor of God on is reality. You build reality, and you do that because you have conviction and you live in this part, you plan on this part, you scripture read and meditate on the Word of God until it transforms your heart, and you take in these things and allow the Holy Spirit to work on you when you're sitting in the dark. I promise you, if you have an addiction of something, you don't stand toe-to-toe with the addiction and say, no, 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 get back, get behind me, Satan. What you do is you get back over here in the executive part of your mind and you say, what does the scripture say? I'm going to believe that I'm a son of God. I have identity in Christ. I'm an overcomer in Jesus Christ. I believe that the enemy has no place. And then you just walk right over that addiction. Are you tracking? You can't just quote scriptures and think it's going to magically happen. You got to install that. You got to impart that. You got to hang on to those truths until something changes. But it's an indirect fight. You know what I'm saying? It's indirect. And then so when we come toe-to-toe with the fight, we're backed with the authority of heaven. And there's nothing, nothing that can stand against. With a particular method, particular devices, and he deceives us. Those are the three things. A method, a device, his way about him, he attacks the mind. And then he tells you stories. And if he can get you to believe it, he owns reality. What are you believing that doesn't belong there? What are you believing that doesn't belong there? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let's believe the truth. Let's cinch the truth of belt on. And let's protect our helmet of salvation. Let's guard our hearts. Let's put on the whole armor of God so that we're able to stand firm. Stand with me, please. The battlefield is in our minds. To stand firm means this, that you are rooted in truth, that you resist lies, that you renew your mind, and you're ready for your assignment. We know that the greatest battle lies right here between our ears. That's where the greatest battle is. If we can deal with these things, then we will, by the Spirit of God, control reality. And I believe there's many here that need this word of truth, where the enemy is constantly targeting and throwing lies at us. The Lord wants to set you free today and give you victory over this particular mind battle. I want you to think about these proclamations right here. I want you to stand in identity. Stand with vision. Stand with clarity. Stand with dynamic power. And stand for your family, your calling, and your church. Because you're more than able. Christ is more than enough to get all of that done. I'm going to worship for a minute. And I want to ask you just some of these questions. And I'm sure you've got the Holy Spirit's just speaking to you and you're feeling things, sensing things. And I just want to encourage you to be free in that. I believe God's here. And I believe God wants to heal you in your thoughts, maybe habits. Maybe relationships, maybe you're struggling with unforgiveness, and I'm not trying to set anything up to make it a big dramatic thing. I just want you to know there are needs here, and God's enough for your needs. So if you can respond to any of that, feel free to get out of your seat, move around. We're going to worship just for a moment, but I want to ask you these questions here. Has your mind been a battlefield that you'd like to address? Have you been believing lies? If that's true, then I want you to come. If you're ready today to take a stand, I want to invite you to come as well. This is for you. This is going to be your activation point. This is your standing point. This is a place to where we find our identity in Christ. Let's worship for just a few minutes here as we close out. We have a team, want to pray for you, but you can come as you like. Let's worship a little bit, team, can we?
And I won't run from the crushing. Next to what I gain, come tear down every idol so this heart won't stray. Don't let me stray. And I just wanna be your sanctuary, a dwelling place. Didn't push the cup away for the joy.